Welcome to Going Rogue Money Ministry. Align your values and finances, live your ideal lifestyle. I'm your host, Melissa Myers, number one best-selling author, entrepreneur, wealth manager, and CFP professional, along with Holly Urbanek, podcast producer and co-host. Does thinking about money cause unnecessary stress in your life? Are you tired of feeling anxious, guilty, or embarrassed about your financial situation? Do you struggle with imposter syndrome or feel financially trapped? We're women empowering women because we've been there. We'll bring you inspiration, motivation, education, and activation strategies for living a more fulfilled lifestyle. You're in the right pod if you're ready to feel good about your life and your finances. Welcome to our empowered community. Ready to go rogue? Welcome to another episode of Going Rogue Money Ministry. Holly and I are very stoked today because we are kicking off today with a very special guest, and it ties into something that has been on my mind for quite some time, and that is the concept of doing less, having less. And I actually did a little experiment, and it was great. On Sunday last week, I turned off my phone for about 18 hours. And I have to admit, there is a little bit of just habit or instinct, maybe addiction, to our little handheld devices. I had my phone laying on the counter, and I walked over to it after I had been in the closet, came out of the closet, grabbed my phone. You guys, what is going on? It was off. I knew it was off, and it was peeking out from underneath a piece of paper I had over the top of it. So I do know that the struggle is real. And when there's a real struggle, I always believe that there's a lesson behind it and a growth opportunity as well. And my lesson was that the world will not implode if I don't have my phone. I can be quieter. I can be more in relationship with the people around me during that kind of time, as well as nature. It was a beautiful day, and I just was able, instead of having my hand down looking at my device, I was able to look at wildlife and all the birds and everything that were circling around our house. So that was super exciting for me to realize that being focused, being present, we can do more by having less. And with that, Holly, would you like to introduce today's guest?
Yes, I would love to. So our guest of honor today is Dr. Pamela Wong Wiltfang. She graduated with a Doctor of Pharmacy and Master's in Public Health from the University of Iowa in 2012. She has been in clinical pharmacy practice and academia for over a decade, and now she works in the rare disease field within the pharmaceutical industry. Pamela has three children, aged 7 and under, and one of her New Year's resolutions this year is to master the Rubik's Cube. Pamela, it's so awesome to have you here. Thank you for being one of our guests, and we are just so excited to learn more about you.
Thanks so much for the warm welcome and great introduction. I'm happy to be here today.
So we have a question for you. It may be a celebration. Did you just make an update on your LinkedIn bio?
I did make an update on my LinkedIn bio. Yes, I started a new role this Monday. I'll keep it confidential though, because these are my views and not my company's views, but very exciting to stay in the rare disease field in this new role.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on this new endeavor and new position.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. Absolutely. So today's topic that I would like to dig in deeper is that of minimalism. And I recognize Jesus as one of our, perhaps our first minimalist, who he led a life of simplicity and spoke on keeping things simple in his own unique ways. And Pamela, you asked us to get to the root of the difference between quiet luxury and traditional ideas of luxury. And let's talk about that a little bit, compare and contrast luxury with minimalism and how they all work together or against each other.
Sounds good. Yeah, I feel that, and I must say, I haven't always been a minimalist. I'm not a minimalist now. I'm working towards it. It's one of my goals. But I do think living a minimalist life can lead to a better financial well-being, better personal well-being, again, like you were talking about with your phone, kind of just stepping away from some of those things. You know, if you live with less, reduce expenses, and if you focus on what's essential and you eliminate unnecessary expenses. You can save money, reduce your debt, improve financial situations, and also just be happier because you're not tied to this little phone that's in your hand, right? So when we're talking about quiet luxury, I think it's more of an understated or subtle approach to luxury that really focuses on quality, craftsmanship, attention to detail versus the flashy logos or any ostentatious display of wealth. You can make money, enjoy it, buy what you want. But again, the quiet luxury is more associated with minimalist aesthetics, being more mindful and having a more sustainable approach to consumption.
I think that's so interesting that you said that you haven't always been a minimalist. So kind of share a little bit more about that. Like, what was the shift where you were like, I got to do something different? Or was it just, hey, I want to give this a try and see if it works for me? What was that like?
You know, we have three kids now. The shift came with the kids and all the stuff, right? So I like to keep a clean house. But again, how do you do that with all these things? If they get everything out, you have to put it away, right? And again, you know, as a kid, as a teenager, I work, I make money, and I want to buy the things that I want. But again, thinking about what is really necessary? Do I need this? Do I need another shirt? Do I need another...
A plushie.
Technology. Right. Yes, exactly. We want to be happy. You want to get what you want. You want to provide the kids what you want, but also just kind of teaching them. They kind of play with things. And then 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, it's pushed to the side. So again, it's just kind of like, you know, maybe spending more money. Like, I find the value in vacations or experiences. So really putting more our money towards those non-tangible things. And I feel like it's a great experience for the kids to grow and learn and be cultured. Also, not just this toy that they see on these shows that they want, right? And I think in general, it brings everybody more joy to kind of do the experiences versus having the material things. So yeah, kids was the shift. Too many things in the house. So.
We share that in common. I noticed when my son was 2 and it was post-divorce, he was about to be 3, and I went hog wild on Christmas gifts. And after a few days, we displayed them all in this one chair. I looked at it and it looked like nothing was missing. There was probably 3 things missing, and everything else was just sitting there because he didn't even go and play with them or use them. And so that's when I decided that I was going to start with just 3 gifts at Christmas. And I've never had any pushback on that.
Oh, that's great. And you find them playing with, like the other day, they were playing with cups or boxes. It really isn't the fancy toys that are necessary and the fancy technology, you know, it's unnecessary at times.
Yeah. Well, it has your foray into minimalism, has it stimulated creative ways of living or thinking or anything like that for you and or the kids?
Yeah, I guess I would say that. I would say so. You know, really just focusing on, you know, the vacations and experiences too, but just sports, right? Like getting them outside again, because I feel like that's something that, you know, with all the technology, everybody is staying inside more. But, you know, having other opportunities to be like, okay, even in the winter in Iowa, what can we do? Where can we go? What are some activities that we can expose them to? So really, you know, one example is going to the trampoline park. They have this little ninja obstacle course. Kids can try and really kind of just figure out, you know, how do I get through this? How do I do this versus doing it in a video game? Right. And also just going to the children's museum has been beneficial. They have lots of different rooms in there for them to kind of experiment and just see and try new things, try new restaurants. Again, like trying to take our kids somewhere different so that they can become a little bit more cultured.
That's awesome. I'm a foodie. So tell me, what's your kids' most favorite restaurant?
Ooh, this is going to be tough. Everybody's different. So okay. For dinner, we probably make 6 different meals because they each want 2 different things. But I would say their favorite restaurant is likely this pizza place that also has an arcade in it that's in our town. So again, if they do well eating, then they can go play a little bit. We try to avoid it. Again, always having a reward for doing something good too, right? Like just doing it to do it. But really, yeah, just trying to like be like, okay, yes, you did good. So now we have $10 that you can spend here and that's it.
What have you seen as financial rewards for you and or you and your husband because of this different approach to living?
financial rewards for us. I feel like, you know, if we cut out things that are unnecessary and honestly cut out the technology after work hours, I'm not the best at doing that yet, but working on it. So I'm working on monotasking as well. But recently too, I do have a new, like with the new role, I have a separate work phone, which is very helpful. So then really just setting that phone aside and not touching that versus having it connected to personal phone, right? But the benefits are really just enjoying the time with family. And that was another, you know, silver lining with COVID, not having all these extra things or being able to go out and go buy things, but really trying to stay close to home and kind of enjoy that family time and embrace it. And really, if we want to plan a vacation or plan an event or take an experience, it's, you know, you feel like you can do those things if, yeah, since we've, you know, kind of saved in other areas of our life.
Yeah, getting rid of the distractions so you can have that money available.
Yes, definitely.
I was going to say too, I'm dying to know if your husband during this shift and transition and way of living, has he always been on board with doing this kind of minimalist lifestyle? And has it always been that way? Or have you had kind of a challenge with that?
I think I'm probably the one that probably needs to change the most. I think he always tells me that he's really proud of me and how far I've come with finances. And he really honestly goes by this 48-hour rule, 30-day rule. You know, he takes some time. Like sometimes I'll have these impulse buys. And again, I'm trying to work on this as well. But, you know, if you go by the 48-hour rule, just wait 48 hours before making that non-essential purchase to maybe avoid like an impulse buy, right? Or if it's a really large purchase, use the 30-day rule to just, you know, kind of mull it over, think about it to ensure that, you know, it is a necessary and worthwhile expense for you both to make. But we're very aligned. He's very supportive. He's like, you have a job, you make your own money, you get what you want. But again, when the kids came along, I think that's where we both aligned. And he has a few of these things as well, though, but with he's very into shoes and cars and watches. So, you know, he's working on that as well. You know, there's not always like a shoebox showing up on my doorstep every week anymore. So he's getting better.
How do you decide what falls under the 48-hour rule versus the 30-day rule?
Yeah, the 48-hour rule, I feel like it's pretty easy to decide what is not essential. You know, just like, is it something that we already have and we just want to upgrade, right? It's not essential. Or, you know, again, if it's like a clothing purchase, of course, we have enough clothes that last us a lifetime, likely. Do we need that? No, definitely. So that's not non-essential. Maybe if it's a clothing item that we don't already have, that might be that we need to use for work, that would be something that's essential. And then 30-day rule is probably something that is just, you know, a higher dollar amount that would be more on the car or furniture, those types of things, just larger dollar amounts.
Has there been a time where you applied that 30-day rule and you realized, no, we're not going to buy that thing or do that activity?
I think right now we're both pretty good at kind of knowing what we want and what we need. So with practice, I think it was a pretty, I'm like, when I decide I want to make a change, it's pretty drastic. So I think on big items, maybe yes. I think definitely when my husband has wanted to purchase an expensive car, maybe more luxury. And then, you know, we both kind of thought about other options. We'd be like, well, we could buy this car and this car instead of purchasing this other one. And I'm like, that makes sense. If you can buy two cars for one, it's probably not the best option, right? So yeah, I think some of these things we just know, like our couch was falling apart and we're just like, okay, we definitely need this. And it's, you don't need a 30-day rule for that. But again, just really kind of thinking it through, like, do you have it? Is it functional? Can you use it? And is it, do we need, really, really need this?
Do you guys follow The Minimalist or Marie Kondo, any of the
I've seen her. Watch an episode. Actually, one of my friends does really like follow her quite a bit. And honestly, her closet has like 10 shirts, like 5 pairs of pants, and then, you know, maybe 5 workout outfits, and the rest of her closet is empty. So that is, I don't know if that's my goal, but I like to have a little bit of variety. But every day I do think about her comment of, does this bring me joy?
Yeah.
And what I've been doing is trying to get donate one, you know, like shopping bag a day, trying to fill one shopping bag a day of things in the house that, you know, we don't use or we don't need anymore.
Ooh, that's a good segue. I wanted to ask you about how this lifestyle has impacted your generosity and the legacy that you're living as well as that you plan to leave.
Yeah, I think, you know, after the two boys, for sure, you know, and then we had our girl, I can get rid of all the boy stuff, all the boy clothes. So really just kind of not really hoarding it. Like maybe some of our, I think the generation before us, like our parents are both, are specifically our hoarders. It'd be like, oh, maybe your kids will wear this, but honestly, unnecessary to save. So really just kind of donating things as we don't use it. If the kids don't use it within 6 months, or if I don't wear something within 6 months, I really just donate it because I find myself wearing the same things all the time. And I can just have, you know, for my business outfits, I have like a few undershirts and then just have different suit coats to go over it. So it's just excessive to have all these things. And really thinking about, you know, the whole colors. I don't know if anybody's done the colors test with skin colors of what to wear. So using that as well to kind of get rid of clothing items in my closet that really don't work with my skin color. So definitely has changed to donate some of these things. And it feels great to be able to give back as well. And it's a small task. Little by little, I think it makes it easy versus doing a whole room, right? Just one bag a day. Kind of walk around and see what I can get rid of that's unnecessary.
Yeah, I think when you have a streamlined focus, everything else, the distractions or the what if, so I could have done that, it really does become easier. Like when I was building my house, it's pretty modern. And so it helped me really focus on just looking at distributors or manufacturers of items that were just modern. And it took away all the clutter and my distraction that I didn't end up with something that totally didn't work. And I think the color, you feel so much better when you're wearing colors that work with your skin tone and your coloring. And if we're honest, like people will pay, when, if we're paying attention to compliments we get, we know what our colors are because people tell us.
Yep, exactly. Pay attention to compliments.
Exactly. So compliments are one thing. Now with this minimalist lifestyle and luxury that means something to you and that brings you joy, are there areas that you just want to rebel?
Oh, yes, of course. I feel like I like to have nice things, but I feel like I've purchased a lot of these like nice things, you know, maybe like a nice work bag just to have. And once I've purchased that one thing, like I feel like, again, that's a 30-day rule probably to make sure I really want this. I really like this. I really need it. Right. So what, but once I have the one and, you know, again, it doesn't mean you can't have those brand type things, but do you need like five of them? Right. So I think I enjoy like just having a nice work bag to be able to fit all my stuff. And I think since my husband's into watches, he's been trying to get me to kind of move on the luxury watch side. But, you know, I'm holding back because I'm like, I like my Apple Watch and my Apple Watch costs less than one of your watches and it has more function. There are some times where I feel like, you know, people can reward themselves, really celebrate yourself, whether it's with an experience, and it doesn't mean you can't make any of these luxury purchases, but treat yourself too occasionally.
And tune in, right, to what really does bring you joy.
Yes, exactly.
If anybody needs ideas on ways to splurge and live some luxury lifestyle methodologies, you can check out chapter 11 in my book, Going Rogue, Unconventional Financial Strategies for Women. Quick little plug there.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's do this as we wrap it up. We would love to hear if you could give us three steps or three tips for somebody tuning in and just initially now hearing this podcast, becoming familiar with the concept of minimalist living. Do you have three tips you can share with us?
Yeah, I would say one tip would be, you know, just start small. You don't have to go big. You don't have to get rid of anything. But again, like my one bag a day, you can pick the size of the bag, figure out, okay, maybe just fill the bag or fill the box of, you know, with some items that you feel like are unnecessary or that you might be okay with getting rid of. And you could still use that 48-hour rule or 30-day rule with the box to be like, hey, if I don't use anything out of this box or bag within 48 hours or 30 days, then I'm going to donate it. And maybe second rule is just make sure everything is aligned. you know, with spouse, you know, take some time, have some conversations about what your goals and values are financially and maybe personally. You know, if you have kids, what do you plan to do? How many vacations would you like to take? What would you want to do every year? And how can you feasibly do that? Just start one, start small. Two, be aligned with your spouse. And three, don't stress too much. Again, it's not a hard stop with living a minimalist life. So it's going to take time. So don't get upset if you really can't donate that box, and kind of be patient with yourself too.
That's the best advice ever, is to be patient and kind with yourself. Any last items of advice, inspiration, motivation that you can share with our audience?
I think I've talked a lot so far, but honestly, I think, you know, again, just kind of tune out the noise. And there's a lot of social media and things we see on TV. So again, just tune out the noise and do what you want to do. Don't feel like you have to keep up with everybody else. And again, by doing this, hopefully you can save some money, improve your financial well-being and personal well-being. But really appreciate you guys having me on this today. And it was very fun.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wiltfang. It was awesome having you. You're a breath of fresh air, and continued professional success as well as your personal success.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Maybe this episode is part of your money ministry. Bless others by sharing it with a friend and posting on social media. While you're at it, we thank you in advance for subscribing to our podcast and leaving a 5-star review.
Our money ministry is helping you design your ideal lifestyle and be a blessing to others. Get started by heading over to melissamyersgroup.com/contact. Hop onto our email list. And while you're at it, schedule your free welcome call. We'll help you get clarity about what to do next.